Appreciate you sharing your heart and song, leading us to the throne. Once you open your Bible with me to Luke chapter 2. Now, many of you were here in your Sunday school class, and so you've kind of got a refresher course of what Luke chapter 2 is about. Today, we're going to talk about joy as we've lit our joy candle, and we've entitled the message, Good News of Great Joy. And I want to share with you this biblical truth this morning. Joy is the natural byproduct of faith in Christ. When we believe in Him, we will have joy. He will give us His joy. But you know, nothing gets me in the Christmas spirit better than going to Walmart the week before Christmas. Yesterday, I took took Micah to Walmart to pick up his gift for Allison. And driving through the parking lot there, somebody cut me off. I know that's probably never happened to you. It's such a rare thing that happens at Walmart. And man, I just felt the Christmas spirit start to well up inside of me. You know, Fox News this past week ran a story that was about two women that were in the line over in the electronics section. And they got into it over a PlayStation 5, like one of the last ones. And they just, man, they went in, they started brawling in Walmart. They were all in the Christmas spirit too. You know, when we think about Christmas, we say it's the most wonderful time of the year. But for some of us, it's the most frustrating time of the year. Seems to be. Anger and frustration and rage tend to be part of the Christmas season. Sadness and loneliness and maybe even depression for some of us. For those of us who know the true meaning of Christmas, we must deliberately and purposefully choose joy. Choose joy. Because there are many other options. And we might feel all kinds of other emotions. But we must orient our heart toward the manger and choose to be joyful this time of the year. The night of the Savior's birth, the shepherds chose joy by seeking an encounter with the child. Would you stand with me? We're just going to read the first few verses. We'll read down through verse 9, chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Let us stop there and pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. Lord, we humble our hearts and we open our ears and our minds to listen to what you have to say to us today. And so, Father, would you speak now? For your servants are listening. And Lord, we want to be found in you, and we want to be obedient to you. Shape us and mold us into the image of Christ. Let the joy of Christmas be in every heart and on every face. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Won't you be seated? We may not be able to see the smile on your face, but we can feel the joy in your heart when we come around you this Christmas, if it's there. And amen. And so I hope and I pray that today each and every one of you will choose joy. So just a few things from the text this morning. And we can't go into all of the intricacies of Luke chapter 2 because there's so much here. And there's so much depth here. But I'd like to just think about four ways you can choose joy this Christmas. Number one, watch out for joy thieves. Because there's joy thieves all around. And your enemy, the devil, is waiting there like a prowling lion this Christmas, ready to pounce and steal your joy away if you allow him to. And we think about this, the circumstances that are surrounding this first Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They were difficult circumstances. Number one, there was a journey that probably took about 2 weeks for Mary and Joseph, and she's near term with her baby traveling to Bethlehem. I mean, that circumstance in and of itself would have been a weary journey. And you can imagine Mary, maybe she's riding the donkey, maybe she's walking. We don't know about that. We tend to include a donkey in that travel. But here she is saying to Joseph, are you sure we're going the right way? When are we going to get there? I don't know if she complained or not, but I know how pregnant women can be. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Back off of that one. I think that's the second time I stuck my foot in my mouth this morning. And so you can imagine the inconvenience of the traveling, the additional difficulty of traveling pregnant. And Christmas usually means for us today, some of us, packing up, traveling, and going. And some of us are missing that this year. We would like to be able to do that. And then we're frustrated and it can be inconvenient for us. All the itineraries, getting the gifts for everyone, getting there on time. Sometimes it means a lot of work. For the ladies in our lives, men, you should appreciate them. All the cooking they do, all the prepping that they do, the decorating they do. It's a lot of work. And then whenever they arrive in Bethlehem, finally they're there, the city of King David, because, obviously, they're both, Mary and Joseph, of the lineage of David. Their son Jesus was going to be of the lineage and house of David. But they get there, and there's no room for them. No one has prepared for them. And this word inn, it probably refers to some of the homes that had been lent out for rooms that had been lent out for people coming in for the census. And yet, Bethlehem is swelling to capacity because of the census, and they arrive there. And all of the people that are there, they can't find somewhere for Mary and Joseph, a woman who is about to give birth. No one makes room for her and her child. And so then, tradition has it that Jesus is born in a cave. And you can imagine how Joseph probably feels as a dad. This is, my first son, and this is all I have to offer him. He must be frustrated. So that first Christmas was surrounded by all kinds of difficulty, inconvenience, probably frustration, and all of the different things that go along with welcoming a new child into the world. And then you see the announcement. So we're interrupted there in verse 7. We see that all of this happens. She wraps the baby up in clothes and swaddling cloths and lays him in a manger, a feeding trough, because there's no place for them in the inn. And then verse 8 interrupts that narrative, and all of a sudden the scene shifts, and now we're out in the fields with the shepherds. And they're out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. Stinky, dirty labor out in the fields. And now, at the end of a tiresome day of herding sheep, they lay down for their rest. And now, an angel appears to them. Verse 9. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And so the fear that's there, there's inconvenience there, there's fear there. So I want to just list a few. We've already seen how discouragement and negativity might take over and be a thief of your joy. You know that fear can also do that too. And that's why in the next line there, the angel says, "Fear not." We know that 365 times-ish in the Bible tells us not to be afraid. But you know, fear can steal your joy. During 2015 to 2018, 13.2% of adults age 18 and over used antidepressant medication in the past 30 days. Use was higher among women at 17.7% than men at 8.4%, according to the CDC. And I also read a recent Gallup study that reveals that there's a connection between regular church attendance and a positive self-evaluation of one's mental health. But the study showed that overall, people are not doing very well this year. The study published on December the 7th focused on 76% of its respondents classifying their current mental health as excellent or good. That's the majority of us, so I'm thankful for that. But since the poll's inception in 2001, that answer had stated about 89%. This year marked a 9-point drop from 2019, the lowest point in the study's history ever in that category. What's Gallup saying? Gallup is saying that for most of us, 2020 has been a very difficult year. Our world is full of despair over many things and fear over many things. But I want to tell you, the devil can't steal our joy. He can't take it away. Why? Because salvation was bought with a price. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven is sure. You are a son or a daughter of the King. You are an heir to a glorious future, no matter what 2020 brings. Amen. So let's watch out for these joy thieves, fear and worry, busyness, loneliness. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We're never alone. Restlessness. The Bible says in the Old Testament that God gives His beloved sleep. I love that. Meaning I can go to sleep and not worry. I can go to sleep and dream good dreams of sugar plum fairies. I don't even know what those are. I can have rest. Discontentment. I thought about this. This is from George Bernard Shaw. "This is true joy in life, the being used for a purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty one, the being thoroughly worn out before you are thrown on the scrap heap, and being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish, little cold, clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy." Wow. I think there's some of us that feel that way, though. Sometimes. Me included. I'll tell you, the last one was a big one. Disunity or unforgiveness. And listen, that will steal your joy away faster than anything else. Is if you harbor resentment against people in your life, the devil will take your joy right away. Why? Because joy is about knowing the one who forgave us of all of our sin. But if we choose unforgiveness instead, we become unfit to receive the forgiveness of Christ Jesus. And the whole meaning of Christmas is lost whenever we harbor unforgiveness. There may be someone in your life right now that you're dreading sitting around the table with, or maybe you're glad that you don't have to see this year because of COVID. And my prayer is that today that person received forgiveness from you and you receive the freedom that comes from forgiving them. I hope that that happens for you with all my heart. And so number one is that we watch out for those joy thieves. Number two, welcome joy into your world. And so let's look now what the angel says again. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. When we think about this joy that is described here, I want us to just talk about it for a minute. The nature of our joy, number one, it's unending. It's going to be good news of great joy that will be for all the people. You know what that includes? Not just the shepherds that were there, not just the greater city of Bethlehem and all of Judea and even Jerusalem, not just Israel, but even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that includes you and me. And that joy that was expressed that first Christmas can be ours today. And we're so thankful that God didn't overlook us by this announcement. He said it would be for all the people. Good news of great joy for all of us. It's an unending joy. But not just that, it's a universal joy. That even if you're feeling a little bit down today, and instead of joy, there's sorrow in your life, that joy can be yours by putting your faith and your trust in Christ. And despite circumstances, you can have hope and love and joy and peace in your heart today. And that offer is for all of us. He says, good news. The word there is evangelion. And what it means is the gospel, the good news of our salvation, that anyone who puts their faith and their trust in Christ Jesus can be saved. And he uses that word, even the angel uses that word for salvation whenever he says a Savior. The word there, Savior, who is Christ the Lord, means salvation. It's the word soterios. And we're reminded of the fact that without that promise, without Jesus fulfilling that, we would be dead in our trespasses and sin. But because of what he did for us, we're alive now. He is our Savior. And he is also Christ, and the word means the anointed one, the one whom God chose and the one that God promised from time past. And then he's not just Savior and who is Christ, he is also the Lord. And the Greek word is kurios, and what that means is he is the boss. And it's related to the Old Testament word Adonai, which we know refers only to the Lord God. And so Jesus is God incarnate, God in the flesh, who came to be a baby in a manger. Kurios, Lord, means master. And so the question is, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Is he seated upon the throne of your very existence? And then the angel said, this will be a sign. All of that about this Messiah, this Christ, who is the Lord, who will be the Savior of the world. Now here's the sign. The sign is, we're going to wrap him up and put him in a manger. And that was so unexpected, to see a baby in a manger in the first place, let alone the King of the world, the King of the universe, in a manger, a feeding trough. Nothing is like this. In other words, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up. Only God could do this. And only God did this. Many men have pursued joy and not found it. Perhaps it would be easier to describe places where joy cannot be found. Joy cannot be found in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel, an unbeliever of the most pronounced type, and he wrote, "I wish I had never been born." You can't find it in pleasure. Before Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone else did, he wrote, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." You can't find joy in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty, and when he was dying, he said, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth." You can't find true joy in position or fame. Lord Beaconsfield, who was a member of the English Parliament, enjoyed more than his share of both. He wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." You can't find it in military glory or power. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day, and after having done so, he wept in his tent before he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." Well, then where is joy found? Joy is found in a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, who became a man, who lived a perfect, sinless life, who died on a sinner's cross, and then on the third day was raised again. That's where true joy is found. It's universal joy. It's uncontainable joy. Notice that suddenly it says, suddenly there was the angel with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." I love that word suddenly, because sometimes I'm weird like this. This is how I feel at Christmas. I'll just be somewhere and then all of a sudden I'll say, "Joy to the world." You know, it just comes suddenly, doesn't it? You just get this thought in your mind and you think, "Oh, look at what Christ has done for me." And then all of a sudden people around you are going, "What's wrong with him?" Or at least that's what they do to me. It's uncontainable. Notice that it was a multitude, a vast number of the heavenly host. Heaven for a moment exploded with the joy of Christmas, and it could not be contained. The heavenly host had to sing their praises. But it was also inexpressible. And so we have this one word here that they would sing, and it's the word glory. Glory. What is glory? Glory means weight or heaviness. And it's almost as if the angels are saying, "God is worth paying attention to. Just look at God. Look at what He's done. Glory to God in the highest." And it's inexpressible joy. And I hope that God overwhelms you in such a way this Christmas that the only thing you know how to say is glory. Or hallelujah. Praise God because of what He's done. And so welcome joy into your world by welcoming Christ into your heart. And then thirdly, witness the joy on His face. Now listen to this. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. We'll stop there for a moment. The Lord rejoices in His own word. You know that joy is one of the attributes of God. We serve a joyful God. He's joyful. Look, He rejoices over the works of His own hands. Listen to what it says in Psalm 104, verse 31. "May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works." The Lord rejoices over His own works, and that includes His own children. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing." Can you imagine God singing over you? Can you imagine Jesus Christ Himself singing? And then in Deuteronomy also, "The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of the womb, and in the fruit of your cattle, and the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as He took delight in your fathers, when you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep His commandments and His statutes that are written in the book of the law, when you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And so, when you do that, you receive His joy. Jesus Himself, the writer of Hebrews says, was motivated by joy to go to the cross for you. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus. Have you looked to Jesus lately? Have you looked to the manger lately? The founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, when those shepherds went over into Bethlehem and searched out and found the exact place where Jesus lay, and they peered over into that manger, and they saw the expression on the face of that child, it was pure joy. It was absolute joy, because God Himself was rejoicing in the salvation of you and me. He loved us enough that He went to the cross for you and me. I want to tell you also, though, that joy is the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And when you trust in Him, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Say it with me. Joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. And so when we are walking in the Spirit of God, the joy of the Lord will be on our face. And I want to tell you lastly, we should worship with joy in our hearts. Worship with joy in your heart. So listen what happens next. They went with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Notice a wonder and amazement. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. So you see wonder and amazement. You see a heart that's overflowing, that's treasuring up all of the things that God is doing. And then in verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. And so worship became part of that first Christmas. I'm so thankful for the worship that we've had today, for the time together, reminding ourselves of what Jesus has done for us, hearing it sung in song. I hope your heart is with us today as we worship. I hope that your heart has been here. I hope that your joy has been expressed through your worship. But I want to tell you, if that's not the case, and so many other things have been on your mind, because there may be someone here today whose mind and heart is so far away from the Christ of Christmas, that to come to a place like this and to worship just seems foreign, seems distant. It seems difficult even. Will you welcome joy into your heart today? Will you say, Lord, I believe in what you did. I believe that you came to this earth and you were born as a baby. If anything that you would say or do this Christmas season doesn't honor the Lord, and it doesn't reflect the joy of what He's done for us, stop it. Just stop it. If a thought or word even comes to your mouth that doesn't edify, kill it. Watch out for the joy thieves. Welcome joy into your heart. Witness the joy that's on His face over you. And then worship Him from a heart of joy. Will you do that this Christmas? Have you done that this Christmas? If not, we want to give you an opportunity. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If that seems impossible for you because you've never put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and you're looking for happiness and joy and fulfillment and contentment and other things, I'll tell you, That's a waste of time. What you need to do today, what you need to do today is ask Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. Put Him on the throne of your heart today. And if you will do that, the byproduct of faith in Christ will be immeasurable joy. And you can know Him today. For the one who will not receive Him, the Bible says we'll go to a place, not of joy, but that person will go to a place of sorrow, pain, and suffering for eternity. You don't want that. You want the joy of eternity with Christ. And so I will invite you now, pray this prayer with me, and mean it with all your heart, if you would trust Christ as Lord and Savior. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I am a sinner. I've broken your commands, and I deserve the penalty for what I've done. But Jesus, I believe that you came to this earth as a baby, born in a manger. You lived a perfect, sinless life for me, and you died in my place. I believe that on the third day you rose again and you're alive today and you're the one speaking to me now. And so, I put my faith and my trust in you to be my Lord and Savior. I confess to you that I love you and I'll live the rest of my life living for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to have our time of invitation now. And this is your opportunity that if you need prayer, we're here to welcome you, to pray with you. If you've prayed that prayer and you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, we want to celebrate and join in the joy of heaven that's happening right now over the decision to trust Christ that you've made. And so, whatever it is, you come as we sing.